Now each year, we always seek to bring our motto text to the people of God. That has been our practice since we began our ministry many years ago. And in thinking about this service this morning and thinking about you as a flock, as a congregation of God, the Lord has laid upon my heart for our motto text as a people for this new year of 2020, the words of verse number 14 of Psalm 48, where it says, "For this God is our God forever and ever. He will be our guide even unto death." Now, in past times, soldiers would often sing whenever they were marching into battle. No doubt they would sing about victories past, and they would also sing about victories to come. And such singing was something that greatly boosted their morale as they went forth to face the enemy. And likewise, as the believer, the Christian, marches to heaven, they too are to sing. They are to sing songs of victory, sing of victories past, present, and future. Victories that are all won through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ as personal Savior. Indeed, the hymn writer reminds us of that very fact and reality and testimony amongst God's people. When they say, "Come ye that love the Lord, and let your joys be known, join in a song of sweet accord, and thus surround the throne. We're marching to Zion, beautiful Zion, beautiful Zion. We're marching upward to Zion, that beautiful city of God." And by those words in that hymn, the hymn writer was exhorting the Lord's people to sing and to praise the Lord as they marched to Zion, as they marched to glory, as they went on in their Christian life. And people, that is why congregational singing is such a vital part of our worship, and is something that we should not take for granted, and it is something that we should enter in wholeheartedly with all of our spirit and with all of our being. And when we come to the psalm here before us this morning, Psalm number 48, it can also be said of this psalm that it is a song to be sung by the people of God. You see that from the very title, which is inspired of God, before verse 1, where it says, a song and psalm, it says, for the sons of Korah. And by this psalm here was composed after God gave his people a great victory over their enemies. You notice there that the psalm begins with a call to praise the Lord. It says, "Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised in the city of our God, in the mountain of his holiness." And the psalmist also tells us of the danger that God's people had faced from their enemy. Verse number 4, it says, "For lo, the kings were assembled. They passed by together." It was a great assembly, a confederacy of kings that were against God's ancient people. Then the psalmist also tells us of the mercies of God that the people had known, and the victory that God had given to them at this time. There was the mercy of God's power over their enemies. Look at verse number 7. It says, "Thou breakest the ships of Tarshish with an east wind." And in Bible times, the ships of Tarshish were mighty warships, yet God broke them and he smashed them to pieces. Such was his power over the enemies of God's people. It was also the mercy of God's preservation upon his people. Verse 8, it says, "As we have heard, so have we seen in the city of the Lord of hosts, in the city of our God. God will establish it forever." Selah, and that word Selah is a Hebrew word that really means stop and pause and think and ponder as what is said. And here the psalmist speaks of God's preserving power upon his Old Testament people when he says there, "God will establish it forever." There was also the mercy as well of God's loving kindness to his people. Look at verse 9 of the psalm. It says, "We have thought of thy loving kindness, O God, in the midst of the temple." My, there was the mercy of the Lord himself being glorified in this very victory. Verse number 10, it says, "According to thy name, O God, so is thy praise unto the ends of the earth." And God's name was praised and glorified through this victory unto the ends of the earth. There was also the mercy of God taking up the cause of his own people. Verse 11 of the psalm there says, "Let Mount Zion rejoice, let the daughters of Judah be glad, because of thy judgments, because God took up the cause in the sight of his people." And then there was also the mercy of God's defense. Look at verse number 12, verse number 13. "Walk about Zion, go round about her, tell the towers thereof. Mark ye well her bulwarks, consider her palaces, that ye may tell it to the generation following." That speaks of God's defense and how they were to tell it to the children and the generation to come, of how God had defended, preserved, and protected his people over their enemies, the enemies of God and truth at this particular time. And by the consideration of these mercies, they caused the psalmist to express and to realize great hope in God. And you see that expression of the psalmist's hope in God in the words of our text, verse 14, the very end of the psalm, when he says, "For this God is our God forever and ever. He will be our guide even unto death." And there you see, in light of God's mercies and God's blessings and dealings with his ancient people, the psalmist here, as he brings this great song to a conclusion, is filled with great hope in God, for he says, "This God is our God forever and ever. He will be our guide even unto this." And you know, likewise, we can also say, as every believer also surveys their life, indeed surveys the mercies of God toward them in this life, they too can testify, yes, of the Lord's abundant mercies, and the result of that is that they too can say here with the psalmist, "For this God is our God forever and ever. He will be our guide even unto death." Dear child of God, in our meeting this morning, in light of God's past mercies, I believe these words here, verse 14, are also an expression of our hope, our confidence for 2020. Our hope and our confidence here for the future that lies before us. As you step out into 2020, keep this verse before you. Keep it before your heart. Keep it before your mind. Don't lose sight of it. Don't be sidetracked away from it, whatever diversions might come your way in 2020. Here I believe with a great expression of our hope as believers, our hope as a church, as individual Christians in the Lord for 2020. And as we would consider this great hope for the future and for 2020, there are a number of important lessons I want just to set before you from this verse. Notice first of all with me here the psalmist's discernment. The psalmist's discernment. The psalmist says, "This God is our God." I want you to think just of those opening three words, "for this God." You see, in this world in which we live, men of all kinds of false gods. There's some and they've gods of wood, gods of stone. There's some and they make gods and idols out of people. There are many and they make idols and gods out of riches or out of something that concerns their self. Well, when the psalmist says here, "This God is our God," he's talking here about the only true and living God, the God of heaven. And the Bible says there is only one God. And people, this is a truth we must realize, a truth we must never lose sight of. There is only one God, the God of heaven and earth, and he alone is the God that we are to worship in our lives. You think of the very first commandment in the Ten Commandments. What does God say? "Thou shalt have no other gods before me." And there's no other God like this God that we're looking at in our psalm today. This God is the covenant-keeping God of Israel. Look at verse number 1 again. It says, "Great is the Lord." You'll notice there that word "Lord," they're spelt in capital letters. And whenever you come to that in the Bible, that's a reference there to Jehovah. The one who keeps his covenant, the one who keeps his promise, his word with his people. You'll see there from the words of verse number 1 that this Lord is the great God. For it says, "Great is the Lord. He is the God who is to be praised. It says He is greatly to be praised. He is to be praised for His sovereign power. Mention has been made of that already in verse number 7. It says, Thou breakest the ships of Tarshish with an east wind. He is to be praised for His sovereign love. Mention of that is made in verse number 9, where it says, We have thought of Thy loving kindness, O God, in the midst of the temple. And friends, God's greatest act of love was seen in the sending of His Son, Jesus Christ, into this world to be our Savior. Think of those great words that you find in John chapter 3, verse 16, and verse number 17. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. Dear believer, in our meeting this morning, this is the God which the psalmist speaks of in our text. And he says, For this God as our God. My, this is the God of heaven, that is to be our focus in 2020. As you and I, as it were, launch out into this new year, this very same God is the God that the focus of our hearts and our minds and our faith is to be upon in 2020. Yes, you see here the psalmist's discernment. Notice something else here from this motto text. Notice the psalmist's portion. He says, This God is our God. Notice those two words, our God. There you see how the psalmist owns the Lord as his portion. He had a personal relationship with this very same God. He bears witness here of his faith, of his trust in the Lord. In reality, what is he saying here? He's saying, I am his and he is mine. He's saying, this God is our God. This God is my God. This God is my rock, my refuge, my fortress, my Savior, my all in all. Dear believer in Christ, in our meeting is the same of yourself also in this gathering today. Yes, you too can say here with the psalmist, you who are saved in this gathering, you can say it without any fear of contradiction. You can say, this God is our God. This God is my God. This God is my rock, my refuge, my Savior, my fortress, my all in all. Dear believer, the God of heaven is your God. Why? Because He gave His only Son as a Savior for your soul's redemption upon the cross of Calvary. What does the Bible say of Christ in Hebrews chapter number 9 and the verse number 12? It says, By His own blood He obtained, He purchased eternal redemption for us. And my child of God, you are the one who belongs to the Lord. The Lord is your portion because of the redeeming sacrifice, the redeeming blood of Christ upon the cross. You belong to Him. Also, dear believer, the God of heaven is your God. Why? Because you have chosen Him to be your God. If you're saved in this meeting this morning, it's because you have chosen the Lord to be your Lord. Grace, there was a time when you came as a repentant sinner to Christ and you trusted Christ as your personal Savior. Christ says, All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. And in love, God called you to Christ for salvation. He says, Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord, and though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. And by God's grace, you have heeded that call to trust Christ as your Savior. Yes, in love, God has knocked upon your heart's door. He says, Behold, I stand at the door and knock, and if any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him, and he with me. And by His grace, you have opened your heart's door to Christ, and you have entered into His salvation. Also in love, God gave His Son to be your Savior, to be your Redeemer. The Bible says, But God commendeth His love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And by God's grace working in your heart and life, dear believer, you have responded to that love.
that love of God that sent Christ to die on the cross, and in that response, you have trusted Christ, you have embraced Christ, you have accepted Christ into your heart and life to be your own and personal Savior. Yes, with the hymn writer, you can say, I came to Jesus and I drank of that life-giving stream. My thirst was quenched, my soul revived, and now I live in Him. Yes, you can say of the Lord that He belongs to you because of His dealings and grace in your heart, in your soul, that has brought you as a repentant sinner unto Christ to embrace Him and to trust Him as your Savior. Yes, dear believer, in the morning, in the meeting this morning, you can say here with the psalmist, this God is our God, this God is my God, the God of heaven. As you sit in this gathering today, realize this, dear believer, He is your portion. This is your portion in Christ. What a blessed portion it is to be able to say of Christ, I am His and He is mine. I belong to Him. He is my Lord, my Savior, my all in all. But alas, for some of you in the meeting this morning, this is not the case with you. My, the Lord is not your God. Why? Because you've never come to Christ for salvation. As you sit in this meeting at the beginning of 2020, you are without Christ. You have no hope. You are without God, the Bible says, in this world. Let me make it clear to each and every one in the gathering that if God, the God of heaven, is to be your God, if He is to be your portion in 2020, then now in time you must acknowledge your need as a lost sinner before God, repent of your sins before God, and by faith alone come to Christ alone and trust in Him alone for salvation. The Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. The Bible says of Christ, but as many as received Him, to them give He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. Friend, that's how the Lord becomes your portion, by you coming as a repentant sinner to Christ and trusting Him as your Savior, as your Redeemer. Yes, the psalmist's discernment, the psalmist's portion. Notice something else here from our text. Notice the psalmist's confidence. He says, this God is our God. And then he goes on, he says, forever and ever. And here you see that the psalmist was one who believed in the perseverance of the saints. He had a personal relationship with God that no power on earth, no power on hell could ever sever or ever break. He says, this God is our God forever and ever. Child of God, keep this truth before you in 2020. When you are converted by God's grace, you too have this same confidence as you enter into this new year. My, you too can say, this God is my God forever and ever. In other words, there is nothing that can break, nothing that can dissolve, nothing that can disannul your soul's salvation. It cannot be done. My, all who are saved are secure in the hand of Christ. Listen to the words of Christ in John chapter 10, verse 28. He says, I give unto them eternal life. They shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. No trial this year, no adversity this year can undo the work of God's saving grace within your soul. It cannot be done by any power on earth or by any power in hell itself. You remember the words of Paul as he wrote to God's people in Philippians 1 verse 6. He says, He which have begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Christ. Charles Spurgeon, the old Baptist preacher of a bygone day, speaking of God's preservation in the life of His people and salvation, said, if God lights the candle, none can blow it out. And my, none can blow out the light of God's grace in a soul that is signally saved by the mighty grace and by the mighty power of God. Believer, what is the Lord's promise to you at the beginning of this new year? It is this, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. He says, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. We were singing that great hymn there in the earlier part of our service, and in that hymn, the hymn writer testifies of their confidence in the Lord's salvation and the Lord's preserving grace in their life and salvation. For the hymn writer said, "My name is graven in his hands. My name is written on his heart. One with himself, I cannot die. My soul is purchased by his blood." And by the hymn writer there was confiding in the Lord's preserving grace, the Lord who saves is the one who keeps his people. This God is our God forever and ever. You read your Bible from Genesis to Revelation, and you'll see this truth coming chapter by chapter, book by book. And it is this, that God's salvation is an eternal salvation. Those whom the Lord saves, he keeps. He never deserts, nor fails, nor forsakes, nor casts them off. Notice something else here in our text. Notice the psalmist's confidence, our psalmist's guidance. He says, this God is our God forever and ever. He says, he will be our guide. Now, as the psalmist here marched to heaven, he knew that the Lord would be his guide in life. And likewise, believer, as you and I walk through and march through 2020, also we can depend upon the Lord for his guidance, for his direction, for his wisdom, for his counsel. And my, whenever the Lord guides, there will be no mistakes. For the Bible speaks of the Lord and says, as for God, his way is perfect. Many years ago, there was an engineer who went off to the land of India as a missionary. And at that time, many questioned his calling to that land. But 13 years later, at a time of famine, he proved his calling. For he supervised the digging of a great canal for the irrigation of the people's crops. And by his action, many people lived, many people survived. He also won the trust of the people and was given many opportunities to preach the gospel to the people who were saved from drought and famine and from starvation. You see, he was a man who was guided and directed and counseled by the Lord. And there's no counsel, no direction like the Lord's. And likewise, dear Christian, if you and I, if we pray, if we submit to God, we can know his guidance for the future. You and I can know his guidance for 2020. Believer, he can guide you by his word. Listen to what the psalmist says about the word of God. In Psalm 119, verse 105, he says, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet. Thy word is a light unto my path." Pray and submit to God and allow the Lord to lead you and be your guide in every decision and choice of 2020. As well as his word, dear believer, the Lord can guide you by his Spirit, the witness of the Holy Ghost in your heart. Turn with me over to Acts chapter number 16, and you'll see an example of this in the Scriptures, in the life of Paul and Silas. Two saved men, godly men, Christians, believers, servants of God, missionaries. In Acts chapter 16, you read of them and they talk about their initial desire to go east with the gospel, a very good intention, a very good desire, we could say. But look at what it says about this at the end of verse number 7 of Acts chapter 16. It says, "But the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, suffered them not." In other words, allowed them not to go eastward with the gospel. As you read on down the chapter, you'll see that they went westward into Macedonia and into Europe with the gospel. But the point I'm making is this, they were guided, they were directed by God, the Holy Spirit, prompting them and guiding them and directing them. They were yielded to the leading of the Spirit of God in their life. And by the way, believer, the Holy Spirit never guides his people contrary to the word of God. It's always in full agreement with the word of God and the testimony of Scriptures. Oh, that this year you and I would be guided by his word, that would be guided by his Spirit. Also, dear believer, he can guide you by his providence. The Bible says, "And we know that all things work together for them, for good, to love God, who are called according to his purpose." He can guide you by his grace in every trial. He says, "My grace is sufficient for thee." And in days of darkness, He can be your light, even in 2020, when days of darkness may come your way. The Lord can be your guide, your director. Turn with me back to the Old Testament book of Micah. The little prophecy of Micah, near the end of the Old Testament, Micah chapter number 7. And look with me, please, there at verse number 8. Look at what Micah says. Verse 8 of Micah chapter 7, he says, "Rejoice not against me, O mine enemy. When I fall, I shall arise. And when I sit in darkness, the Lord shall be a light unto me." Maybe, believer, in 2020, days of darkness will come your way, maybe come my way. But in the midst of those days of darkness, the promise here is this, that the Lord will be a light unto us to guide us, to direct us, step by step. What does the psalmist say? He says, "The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord." Oh, in this new year, let us rest upon God to guide us individually, guide us as a congregation, step by step, yard by yard, led and guided by the Lord. Yes, we see the psalmist's guidance. Notice one final thing here from our motto text. Not only the psalmist's discernment and the psalmist's portion and the psalmist's guidance and his confidence, but notice finally here the psalmist's hope. Look at what he says right at the very end of our text in Psalm number 48, verse 14. He says, "For this God is our God forever and ever. He will be our guide." And then he adds these three words, "even unto death." What do those words mean? It really mean this. They mean that God will guide his people through death, and indeed beyond death. In essence, here the psalmist was looking forward to heaven. Indeed, to the glory of heaven, to everlasting life. And dear believer in Christ, in our meeting this morning, as you and I look out into the future, remember this, that heaven is before you. This is the great hope that lies before you, our eternal rest, our eternal hope, the hope of everlasting glory. You're journeying, moving towards the eternal harbor of God's everlasting rest. There is no more sin, no more sickness, no more death, no more sorrow, no more tears. What a hope, what a prospect the believer in Christ has. Turn with me in your Bible over to 2 Corinthians chapter number 5. 2 Corinthians chapter number 5. Look at the opening two verses of this chapter here. Paul is speaking of this very same matter, the believer's hope of glory. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 1 and 2. He says, "For we know that of our earthly house of this tabernacle we're dissolved. We have a building of God, and house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan earnestly, desiring to be clothed upon with our house, which is from heaven." He speaks there of the eternal glory of the redeemed, of all God's people. Child of God, in our meeting this morning, whether you're saved recently, whether you're saved a long time, in light of this great hope, believer in Christ, this year, 2020, press on with God. Press on in your work and your witness for God. And go on as the psalmist went on at the very end of the psalm, resting upon the Lord, resting upon this great confidence for 2020. Say with the psalmist, "This God is our God forever and ever. He will be our guide even unto death." And if there's one in the meeting today and you're unsaved, let me say this. If you were to have the same great hope of heaven, then now in time, you must be sure of Christ as your own and personal Savior. C.H. Spurgeon said, "He is sure of heaven who is sure of Christ." Are you sure of Christ today? That's how you can be sure of heaven. By knowing and trusting Christ as your Savior. The Bible says, "Give diligence to make your calling and election sure." And you make your calling and election sure to salvation. How? By coming to Christ. By repenting of your sin. And by trusting in the sacrifice, the blood of Christ upon the cross shed for sinners, to wash away all your sins. The Bible says, "For by grace are you saved through faith. Not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. not of works, lest any man should boast. Oh, this day call upon Christ. Trust him as Savior. And then from this day forward, you too will be able to say with the psalmist in our text, for this God is our God forever and ever. He will be our guide, even unto death. Let us close our meeting, please, with a word of prayer.